Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. He's Brian.
I am indeed Brian.
You are indeed Brian. And it's a Tuesday afternoon, man, and the snow is coming down here in Wisconsin. This is the first snowfall. And just like all first snowfalls, Brian, nobody knew how to drive this morning. I don't know about it. Well, you're holding down the fort at the broadcast bunker, what, 3.56 something?
Yeah, something like that. I got good old Chewbacca looking over my shoulder again, and basically you and I were in a meeting until it came to the point where I don't trust that I can get there on time before with these slick roads, and it's still coming down. Congratulations, everybody, for those of you who have your first measurable snowfall and or slush today. I was just out there kind of pushing some stuff aside. Wanted to let everybody know. It's the heart attack kind of snow.
It's the heavy stuff. I made a nice little snowball off of my car before I left, but I didn't have anybody to throw it at. So therefore, I just threw it at the garage, and that was
good.
That was my practice to see how good the snow was this morning.
Maybe you throw one every snowfall, and you can collect dots for every snowfall.
I have a feeling it very shortly after fell off the garage. But cleared off the cars this morning, made it in on this gorgeous Tuesday afternoon. But I like the snow. I'm a big fan of the
snow. Dude, I'm part Yeti.
Yeah. So I don't understand when Wisconsin drivers have a hard time or they're starting to complain about it. Mid-November, about the time to expect it. We had a real late snowfall last year. I don't think it came until like the second week of December. So I'm all for it. It's nice. Just drive careful out there, folks. And while you're driving, if you're listening along, want to share your tangent, 844-967-2789. That is the number to call if you want to share. You can also text. And you're listening to this fine program across the Civic Media Network here in Madison. I'm broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. We're also broadcasting in Waukesha on the Shaw, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Air in Amory, and Radio from the Center in Richland Center. Again, 844-967-2789 if you want to join the program.
Yeah, folks, pro tip, if you don't like snow and or cold, try not living in Wisconsin.
Or just be ready for it. Like,
similarly, if you don't like sunshine and or the heat, maybe Phoenix is not the place for you.
It's true. Well, it's that time of year again where it's difficult. I mean, there's plenty of Wisconsinites, myself included, that still have a relatively tough time around this time of year with daylight savings now gone. We're out of that, and then it getting darker earlier, and weather like today, it can be tough. But we're here at Dueling Tangents, going to give you some hopefully. Interesting insights, the way to look at the headlines and cheer you up. 844-967-2789.
Let's just say we've built enough character for both everybody, so I think we can help out.
We're trying.
Speaking of building character, it seems as if the Republican Party is trying to build some character.
What?
I know. It seems like Republicans seem to want to distance themselves from Donald Trump all of a sudden.
I'll believe it when I see it, Brian.
I don't know. The General Sentinel said some stuff about it. I figure they might have some. I mean, sometimes they know.
Sometimes they know. Well, this is an interesting piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, written up by Molly Beck and Lawrence Andrea. And the headline, Brian, he's the past. Wisconsin Republicans distance themselves from another Donald Trump candidacy. And it's not just Wisconsin Republicans that are distancing themselves from Donald Trump. We've got a clip as well from former Vice President Mike Pence that we're going to get into. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, talking about the gerrymandering that has prevented some democracy from happening in northern Wisconsin. So we're going to get into that later, but this piece first, Brian. Do you think it's true, or do you think these quotes are just, well, you know, people floating it to the press?
Was it Robin Voss or Tim Michaels or anybody that... did the message get through to anybody who flew with Donald Trump or went to Donald Trump to get his blessing for anything? Because there's a lot of them that still was like, during the race, ooh, Trump, can I have your endorsement, please? There's a lot of people who really wanted his endorsement. So the people that, you know, facilitated that and or enabled that, I wonder if those people are the ones distancing themselves, or if it's a new group of Republicans who are like, you know what, that's the past. And you know what, for people who if I'm going to talk to someone about the past, I'm going to go to the people who live in the past, and that's the Republicans.
Well, I find it an interesting line that the Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin are going to try to walk, Brian, because during the primary season, Republicans were all in favor of the former guy coming. He did a stump speech in Waukesha, and he endorsed Tim Michaels, and that was an endorsement sought in the GOP primary here in the state of Wisconsin. But then come the general election, specifically the WOW counties, and we're going to be hope to be joined by Dan Schaefer for the excellent analysis that he's been able to provide around the WOW County voter turnout and last Tuesday's midterm elections coming up soon. But the WOW counties are not a big fan. The Republican stronghold in years past, not a big fan of the former guy, which may be the reason why we're seeing a headline like this over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Brian, because it's going to become a tightrope for them to walk during primaries. He's still going to play a role, but come the general election, Republicans are going to want to distance themselves to be able to make up lost ground that they've had in previous strongholds, including Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties, the WOW counties. And so there's some interesting quotes here, though, in this piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And the first one references a clip from WISN that, Brian, you and I played a little while ago, of Paul Ryan saying that as this clip dropped, we shared it last week, Trump's kind of a drag on our ticket. Former U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan, who represented Wisconsin's first congressional district for 20 years, said in the interview with ISN.
Good thing he spoke up in the 2020 election when, he didn't do it then. Good thing he waited until after it was definitive that Trump was clearly a loser and probably a bad person to be involved with, that it wasn't until power was lost or anything, you know, bad happened that he actually, as far as his party goes, that Paul Ryan was like, you know, I'm going to come over here and speak up right now. I'm Paul Ryan. I have a spine for 30 seconds because now the big bad man is done. But the second Donald Trump talks to him, he's going to go away again. And by the way, good luck getting that message to Donald Trump, because he ain't going anywhere. That guy will never get the message. That guy is the most, like, he has no social cues whatsoever. The entire world could be blaring at him with horns saying, get out of here. And he's like, well, then I'll stay.
Well, he absolutely is going nowhere, because his only way to avoid criminal prosecution, potential criminal prosecution, Brian, is to announce a candidacy for president again, which we may be expecting today. He said there's a major historic announcement coming today. And so he shared that out on Truth Social. And it'll be interesting
to see. That's where I go to get all my information. If you get your information from Truth Social, you're probably not that well informed. I'm just telling you.
Yes. But the retired speaker also continued on to say, Donald Trump gives us problems politically. We lost the House, the Senate, and the White House in 2 years when Trump was on the ballot or in office. And I think we just have some Trump hangover. Retired Republican strategist Brandon Schultz and a former chairman of the Wisconsin GOP was more direct. Quote, Donald Trump isn't the future of the Republican Party. He's the past. So
he isn't the future of anything.
Yeah, I mean, what, he's approaching 80 himself as well, isn't he?
I don't know. He said he knows more about drones than anybody. So clearly, an 80-year-old dude that has never picked up a piece of technology besides a phone in his life totally knows about drone technology. But at least you guys believed him on stuff, and you said, that's my guy. How could you do that? You're spineless and have no morals. That's all I can tell you.
Well, it's interesting as well, because the Republican chairman of the Republican Party, the statewide party, Paul Farrow, also Waukesha County executive, Paul Farrow, is...
He's stepping up to lead, right? He's stepping up to lead through this moving away from Trump? Yeah.
More of like an addition through subtraction kind of thing. He's going to focus on running for re-election as county executive in Waukesha County. He will not be seeking a full term as the chairperson for the state party for the GOP. And so
people in positions of power that could possibly step up and fill a vacuum that is left by anybody, any sort of leadership in the Republican Party, maybe someone that could maybe lead us forward. All of the people in those positions are either stepping down or are Robin Voss.
Or Devin LeMahieu as well. Who
is Robin Voss?
Let's not forget about Devin LeMahieu.
Yeah, who is Robin Voss?
Exactly. So we've got some sound from the vice president that we're going to share on the other side of this break. But Brian, it is very telling that these Republican officials, former House Speaker Paul Ryan, coming out pretty late to the game, but coming out and saying that Donald Trump is now definitively the past, I think is going to make some interesting infighting in the Republican Party here in the state of Wisconsin, because there's also still folks out there like Adam Steen and Tim Rantham and Michael Gableman that I have a feeling...
Those are the people that are filling in to step up and fill the void of leadership in the Republican Party. Those are the people who are stepping up, because people like Paul Farrow, who somewhat has his grip on reality sometimes, decides, you know what? I'm going to let that leadership thing, which I'm a part of, that I'm running for, I'm going to let that leadership thing be the last thing I care about and buy.
Yeah, he's focusing on that county executive position in Waukesha County. So it's going to be interesting to see how this vacuum gets filled, Brian. But we're gonna talk about it here on Dueling Tangents, and some crimes maybe that need to be distanced from as well.
You know how that vacuum gets filled up? With a whole bunch of dirt and scumbag.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian. We're playing across the Civic Media Network. It is true. If you want to take us with you, go download the Civic Media app. You can see all of the stations that we have. You can jump back and forth between broadcasts. Take us with you on the go. That is downloaded wherever fine apps are downloaded on your smartphone or other smart devices. And Brian, we're talking about a little political infighting. And specifically, we've got some sound from an upfront interview that former Vice President Mike Pence did with Matt Smith, reporter over at WISN in Milwaukee. And it's pretty interesting to see where somebody that could be the Republican nominee, I believe he's got aspirations for 2024, despite the fact that there was crowd of a couple of thousand people chanting "Hang Mike Pence" on January 6th when he certified the peaceful transfer of power and allowed the Biden administration to rightfully take office. It's going to be interesting to see how he courts those voters. And so, Evan, if we...
All I can tell you is, well, before we play this, I just got to tell you that Mike Pence is a turtle upside down on a fence post.
And he's trying to write himself right now. He's trying to...
You have no idea how he got there, but you know he didn't get there on his own.
So let's play this sound from the former vice president, Evan, if you would be so kind.
It is now widely known that a group of Wisconsin Republicans that day were attempting to get you a slate of false electors through Senator Johnson and his chief of staff. I'm curious, in those moments on that day, were you aware of that plan?
I was not aware of any plan to present alternate electors. In fact, on the Sunday before January 6th, Matt, I met with a parliamentarian of the Senate and asked a very direct question whether there were any other slates of electors that had been certified by states across the country. And she assured me that there was not.
They weren't certified.
States across the country under the Constitution conduct our elections, and they certify the election. And the only thing Congress is slated to do under the Constitution is to open and count the votes. I was determined to ensure that we do that with all of the certified electors that we had, which were only one from every state.
Your former aide texted Senator Johnson's chief of staff that day on the 6th and said, do not give that to him. Did he act on his own, or was that at your order?
I didn't have any knowledge of that at the time. I learned about that long after the fact.
Not really answering the question.
Altogether appropriate.
So you're not in charge of your own cabinet. Okay, cool.
Certifying electors. Wisconsin had gone through that process, just as Indiana did when I was governor of Indiana. And so I think that was altogether fitting.
So what do you make about that plan, about some Republicans in states like Wisconsin attempting to send you a slate of false electors?
Well, I don't know much about the plan, except, what I've learned long after the fact.
Are you curious about it?
An organized effort, I'd leave that to others.
He'll leave it to others, Brian.
I'd leave the understanding of the whole situation to other people. It could have been the overturning of the government, but, I don't really want to get involved in all the details because I'm just the vice president. I don't know what to do. But please elect me as your president next time.
Merrick Garland, if you're listening, the former vice president clearly said that there's other people that need to take a look into that. So please follow his lead. I honestly, this is the thing. Mike Pence is pretty much clearly trying to distance himself from this scheme to overthrow the peaceful transfer of power in the United States back in December and January of 2020 and 2021. And why else would the former vice president be doing this interview in Wisconsin? Brian?
If I didn't have anything to do with it, I usually just say, nope, didn't know anything about it.
If there wasn't some news coming out about it soon and you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to distance myself as far as I can away from that.
And change the subject as soon as possible.
Yes.
But continuing to seem like I'm answering the question, but by also talking about something different but adjacent to it.
My staff didn't act independently. I just didn't find out about the canceled order for him not to deliver them long after the fact. Who cares what the timeline is? It was only a couple of seconds. That's what Senator Ron Johnson had to say about it.
Well, what I can tell you is Mike Pence right now is probably a little bit upset, and not necessarily because of the fact that he could have been part of the plot to overthrow the government or was a target of assassination. Either way, I don't know. Point is, he doesn't know either and doesn't seem to care.
Apparently not.
But one thing that will definitely anger him is tomorrow they're going to hold a vote for the Respect for Marriage Act.
They are.
Which would codify interracial marriage and gay marriage into law.
Same-sex marriages.
Congratulations, yeah. Tammy Baldwin.
An effort being led by Wisconsin's hardest working senator. I think we can honestly say that.
Only working senator, I would say.
Definitely hardest working. Probably only working senator. Yeah. Yes, Tammy Baldwin leading that charge. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer scheduling that vote to take place tomorrow on the Senate floor. Could be a very, very eventful lame duck session in U.S. Congress, Brian. From the sounds of it, the Respect for Marriage Act isn't the only piece of legislation that may be passed between now and early January with this Congress.
Rumor is, though, this Respect for Marriage Act has the 60 votes. Let's go, kids. Wear those rainbow pants tomorrow.
Let's see it. We are going to be joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign talking about what the effects of the new maps, supported by pretty much only Robin Voss and Devin LeMayu, no other public comments in support of these maps, what these maps meant for northern Wisconsin, which does separate quite a bit from the surrounding areas when it comes to who they vote for and who they want representing them in the state government. So we're going to have that conversation up next with Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We'll also get to the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian, across the Civic Media Network in Madison on Devil Radio, the Shaw in Waukesha, Oshkosh Air Support in Oshkosh, locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Air in Amory, and radio from the center in Richland Center. We're going to be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. It's a little Tommy Shondell.
Tommy James.
See, I always want to say Tommy Shondell, and I'm like, wait, as soon as I said it, I was like, nope, that's wrong.
They did a version. You're half right.
They did a version. Okay, thanks, they did, Evan. Yeah. Thanks, Evan. And we've got the voice of God joining us as well. That's Evan, our fine producer, back from his long weekend of the nuptials. So congratulations there, Evan. We didn't acknowledge that right off the top, so my apologies. But we're glad to have you back on the board. We appreciate you. And we're also joined now in studio here in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. How you doing this afternoon, Matt?
Doing fine. It's always nice to be with you. Evan had the shortest honeymoon of all time, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Kristen's on a really long one right now.
Yeah, an extra long one. Yeah, but I can tell you that Evan is in a dark room right now. What you saw was him actually glowing, and that's what's making the room bright.
So. Oh, that's so sweet.
That's what it is.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys.
Congratulations. But dragging the line. Speaking of dragging the line, we saw some of the lines that were redrawn this past election.
Picked up and moved.
Yeah, they picked up and moved somewhat advantageously for the Republicans, it seems like, Matt. And you've got a new piece out over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign talking about the results of gerrymandering in northern Wisconsin on last Tuesday's midterm elections. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, you know, Republicans like Robin Voss says, you know, he likes to say, there's no problem with gerrymandering. It's just the Democrats. They crammed themselves into Dane County and Milwaukee County. Well, if that was true, you know, what happened up in northwestern Wisconsin on election day? Because the Dems took three counties overwhelmingly in the northwest corner of the state. Douglas County, 56.9% for Evers. Bayfield County, 58% for Evers. Ashland County, 57.6% for Evers. So there was support for Evers outside of Dane and Milwaukee counties, a lot of it. But I looked at those counties, and the thing that popped out to me was none of those Democratic majorities in Douglas County, Bayfield County, or Ashland County now has any representation whatsoever in the state capitol. They have no assembly person, and they have no state senator because of gerrymandering that Voss did to shovel more Republican votes into the areas where Douglas, Bayfield, and Ashland County were. He didn't make one district out of Douglas, Bayfield, and Ashland County, which would have been a Democratic district. Instead, he shoved, you know, Price County and Iron County into Assembly District 74, and in Assembly District 73, he took half of Douglas County and then shoved Burnett County and Washburn County in there, too. They split off Douglas County and all those Democratic voters, and they grabbed a lot of Republican voters to make Republican dominant districts. And so in the two districts that were held by Democrats until last week, District 73 and District 74, Republicans won by 51-49 or 53-47. That was good drawing when you could absorb all those Democratic votes and swallow them up and discount them by gerrymandering. And that's exactly what Voss has done. You know, the maps this time around were even more rigged than the maps in 2011, which were one of the worst gerrymanders in modern American history. So these new maps have got to be even worse than those.
Yeah,
and they're not even trying to hide it either. They're not trying to pretend like they're not doing it. Robin Voss said out loud in quotable circumstance in the article that you even said. He said, "Yeah, it may have been drawn to with partisan favor in mind. It's literally the definition of gerrymandering.
Yeah, he confessed to the crime. I was there at the scene of the crime. I was in the Capitol when he was testifying about the maps, the rigged maps that he and Lemieux drew. Actually, the only two people who testified in favor of those maps were Robin Voss and Lemieux. And there were 200 of us who signed up to testify against them. And I was just sitting there waiting my turn at bat when Robin Voss is in the witness chair talking about his maps. And he said, yes, we did use partisanship when we were drawing these maps. And guess what? It's legal. So we did it.
Yeah. So he admitted go ahead, Brian.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to just double check. What's that thing, that phrase that's written in the Capitol that you have to see when you go in there?
Is that the will of the people, the law of the land?
Yeah, so they had to walk through there, the two of them, Lemieux and Voss, had to walk through there every day, and they go and sat there and listen to 200 people, 200 of their constituents, by the way, 200 of them go in, not one person calling in favor of them, to and they had an open availability, could have signed up anybody who favored the gerrymandering. So they were in the face of 200 people, and the two people decided that we're going to go a different way because we decided that way.
And you're right. Lemieux virtually didn't say anything the whole time there. It was just Robin Voss speaking, and Lemieux opened his mouth, but I think it was Robin Voss who was doing the talking there, a little puppet. So,
and we have the nerve to call Putin a dictator. We have the nerve to go and say, well, Putin does things in a very, you know, very bad way. This is anti-democracy and literally in action.
Really, it is.
I'm bringing up past anger, but yeah.
I mean, it's disenfranchisement. You know, our founders fought a revolutionary war over fair representation, no taxation without representation. You all remember that.
Yeah.
And here we have, you know, 58% in Bayfield and Ashland counties, 57% in Douglas County. Those folks have no representation at all because the maps got rigged so that their voices are swallowed up by rural Republican voters in other counties.
And so
their representation is a different part of them. I'm sorry, I just want to clarify. Their representation is like their actual county itself is splintered into other people representing them.
Correct. Douglas County, they cut in half. And sent half of the Democratic areas in Douglas County into more southern, more Republican counties. I mean, it's easy to do if you've got, you know, a computer and you know how people are voting in this district and that district and the other district, and you want to just get enough Republican votes in there to dominate the Democrats in the area. And then guess what? Too bad for all you liberals up in Douglas, Bayfield, and Ashland County. You're out of luck.
Yeah, well, and that's been part of the argument that Republicans have had over the years is that, oh, well, the Democrats just live in high concentration areas, so we're not forcing them to live in these assembly districts, these state Senate districts. That's just how the demographics are. But this is the exact opposite. This is the cracking, when you refer to cracking and packing when it comes to gerrymandering. And so communities like Madison that and Dane County as a whole that saw population growth, Dane County accounting for roughly a third of the population growth for the state of Wisconsin over the last decade, not seeing any additional representation in the state government either. And so there are different methods that gerrymandering takes when the Republicans are using those computers with pinpoint precision to draw these district lines. And it seems like these may be the maps that we're going to have going forward for the next decade, Matt. Or is there this, something that can be done between now and the next time these maps are scheduled to be redrawn at the end of this decade?
Well, there's a great mass movement in Wisconsin to ban gerrymandering. 56 people in 56 counties of the 72 have voted by referendum or resolution to tell the legislature we want to ban gerrymandering once and for all. The hope is, with this April election coming up, where the Wisconsin Supreme Court ideological balance is hanging by a thread there, conservative Justice Rogentzak's retiring. So it's 4-3 right now in favor of the conservatives. With her retirement, it's 3-3. Whoever wins the race in April will determine the ideological disposition of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. If a justice is elected in April who understands that the will of the people should be the law of the land in Wisconsin, and that's part of our constitution, our state constitution, it's very conceivable that some group could bring a lawsuit saying these maps defy the will of the people, violate the will of the people. We've got to ask you, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, to relook at these maps and throw them out. And let's redraw these maps in a fair way. And so that's my hope. And I don't think it's an idle or remote hope if by some chance, and it would not just be a stroke of luck, it would be a stroke of organizing, that in April, a decent justice is elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
And we know the current swing justice, quote-unquote swing justice, that has sided with both ideological sides of recent, Brian Hagedorn, doesn't necessarily view that reading of the Constitution.
I don't think so. I like Brian Hagedorn. I admire him in some way, even though he ran as an arch-conservative. I found him bigoted on some social issues, including gay rights. But he's gotten onto the court and exercised a lot of restraint, has a judicial temperament. He doesn't scream at his colleagues like some of
his... Hasn't hit him with anything or
like
anything
Rebecca
like that.
Bradley does. And he's made some excellent decisions, most notably in the Trump versus state of Wisconsin case, where he wouldn't throw out tens of thousands of votes like the conservative other three justices wanted to do and really, you know, try to hand Wisconsin over to Trump. I mean, that was an outrageous thing that they wanted to do. He wouldn't go for it, so I admire him for that. He's also made some other decisions with the liberals, so you're right. I mean, the Republicans can't count on him, and they're angry about that.
Yes, and so it will be a very interesting spring election cycle with the primary in February and the general in April to determine the balance of the Wisconsin Supreme Court for the foreseeable future, because I believe there's not another Supreme Court election for about 2 to 3 years after this upcoming one.
Yeah, I mean, this one is crucial. So I know people are exhausted by the last election, and maybe there should be a law that says you can't talk about the next election for at least a month after the last one.
I absolutely believe we need to shorten some of these cycles, but the spring cycle is not the one that needs shortening. We had candidates announcing for this last fall cycle before the 2020 election was even over.
Well, and then you have you-know-who announcing for election in 2 years tonight. So.
We'll see what happens there. I don't know. Merrick Garland, if you're listening, we're waiting for you. Folks.
He could be announcing a new sales pitch called Trump Soap. Clean yourself of all the evil with Trump Soap.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We are joined in studio by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, talking about the lack of representation that northern Wisconsin voters, that roughly 5 out of 8 voters in 3 counties in northern Wisconsin, Bayfield, Douglas, and Ashland counties, voted for Governor Tony Evers, and I would believe pretty in line with the Democratic Assembly or State Senate candidates that were on their ballots as well, but not receiving any representation in the state government. So if on previous maps we did have Democratic representatives up there, what do you believe would be a continuous district for some of those areas in northern Wisconsin, say if a lawsuit went through and fairer maps were put in place?
Well, I mean, you could make a district just out of those 3 counties themselves instead of splitting up Douglas County in one district and also for Bayfield and Ashland dragging down south into, you know, Burnett and Price counties and Iron counties. So there's a way to draw the map so you could at least get one representative in the state assembly and a fairer shot at the state senate. Janet Bewley lost, retired. Then Kelly Westland was running for her seat and lost big, 57-43. The assembly seats were very close. But it's not just those 3 counties. I mean, Sarah Rodriguez's old district in the Wauwatosa area, she used to represent a large part of Wauwatosa. They cut out Wauwatosa almost entirely from that district, so she was in a heavily Republican district, so she decided to run for lieutenant governor.
I was going to say, now lieutenant governor-elect Sarah Rodriguez instead of state representative.
And statewide, look, Evers won by 90,000 votes, and we have a legislature that's just about 2/3 Republican. That doesn't make any sense. We're a purple state. We should have a purple legislature.
That's the issue, isn't it? That's what's going to happen. We're going to have to figure that out coming up with Evers' next term here. We're going to have to figure out how to get things done, or if anything will get done. That's what we're going to talk about in the next segment. But my goodness, man, we got so much stuff to get done in the next year or so. Because, again, if this Supreme Court race, like you mentioned, goes the other way, and how stupid is it that we have to go and worry about things like whether a Supreme Court justice who's supposed to be nonpartisan is going to go the partisan way or not. You know what I mean? I was amazed at Justice Hagedorn because of the way that he ran. Like you said, he's an ultra conservative, all that stuff. I was amazed at how he became judicially relatively straight down the line.
Yeah, I mean, that's unusual, and that's why I admire him. But it is the biggest joke in Wisconsin politics that races for Wisconsin Supreme Court are nonpartisan, because everyone knows they're hyperpartisan now.
Stop it. We all know the biggest joke in Wisconsin politics is Senator Ron Johnson. Come on.
Ba-doom, boom. He's here all week.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to join the conversation, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. We are joined by Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Going to talk about what democracy looks like over the next 4 years in a second term for the Evers administration when we get back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian. We're joined in the Solidarity Realty Studios by Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And Tim Michaels lost.
Yeah.
Democracy is going to live to fight another day here in the state of Wisconsin.
What a terrible candidate. I mean, they would have done so much better having Rebecca Clayfish as their candidate, but it serves them right.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do. I totally do. I think she would have worked much better in the Wow counties, which you were talking about in the last half hour. She could have deflected some of the things. She worked her tail off for 4 years at every, you know, dried chicken dinner in every county.
But it didn't materialize to votes in the Republican primary.
It didn't materialize because Trump came in and Michaels had all his money, and Club for Growth came in and ran ads in a Republican primary against a Republican candidate, which they hadn't done before here. I don't know who they have at Club for Growth who had it in for Rebecca Clayfish, but if I were her, I'd be really hot. And she did
well, not. Well, she was hot. She didn't come out and say anything
she
during
didn't
that
say,
general.
Boo. You want to win this, win it on your own.
And serves him right, like you said. I mean, yeah. She was the only personable human being candidate on that ticket, at any up or down.
I mean, she could present that way. Mean. I know she was very right-wing on a lot of issues, but she was much more presentable and much more Wisconsin than this guy from Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
And she also is amenable to, like, you know, political things. So, like, if you gave her, you know, an incentive or a reason to maybe vote for something, she might actually work and, I don't know, negotiate with people on things. I think Tim Michaels would have just been Robin Voss, stamping, whatever you say, Robin Voss, as long as I get my contracts. But either way, guess what? We don't have to worry about it. Republicans are in disarray. Yeah. And now we got to figure out how to deal with Evers.
I like Michael's 1,000-year Reich he was going to have in Wisconsin. The Republicans were never going to lose another election. That was a clever thing to say, too.
Yeah, that and the
mustache doesn't look good on him.
The fact that the 1849 abortion ban was a mirror of his position, I think those two quotes were really what got tied to him and effectively showed Wisconsin voters how radical of a candidate he was.
Yeah, the abortion issue really hurt him. It was Rovember here in November in Wisconsin. And the campus vote hurt him and really helped Mandela Barnes get close and helped Evers get over the line.
Yeah, I do think about how long those.
Never lose another election in Wisconsin after I'm elected governor.
There we go.
Thanks, Evan. The long lines on college campuses did bring me joy, but also pain, knowing that there were probably plenty of students that saw how long those lines were and were like, I would like to vote today, but I'm not going to because I don't got the hour and a half, 2 hours to wait in long lines.
Well,
just like we planned it.
Yeah, and of course they have to get all sorts of credentials more so than just one card.
I had to help my cousin, who's student here on UW.
You got Scott
campus.
Walker to thank for that.
Yeah, he was scrambling. He's originally from Cedarburg. He's a Wisconsinite through and through, and he was having a hard time figuring out how to register. So I don't think there's all those college students out there that didn't have somebody that they could turn to have the resources where I was like, this is what you need. Bang, bang, bang. We got him registered and he was good to vote on election.
They got to make it easier for students to vote. But 26,000 votes for Mandela Barnes. I just feel so bad for him because, you know, he did great in those debates. He came back. I hated his ads, frankly. I hated that peanut butter and jelly ad. I hated the milk carton ad. I hated the delivering pizzas to classroom ads. I think he threw away millions of dollars that he had raised on bad ads. But, you know, He gave a great concession speech. He fought hard in the debates. He came back from nowhere. That Marquette Law School poll had buried him a couple of weeks ago.
6 points down, a month away from the election
like
day.
A stone, and he came back. And so when it's that close, you just got to think, God, if I had just done a couple different things, maybe I'd be senator right now. And I know there are a lot of Democrats and progressives very sad about that.
Yeah, it's going to be a movement that was started, though, that I think will continue beyond last Tuesday.
Exactly. He ran a real progressive campaign. I mean, when was the last time you heard a guy talk about labor unions as much as he did and workers' rights as much as he did?
Yeah. It's been a long time. But one of the things that we're going to see over the next 4 years is a second Evers administration. And one of the interesting dynamics of how Republicans here in the state of Wisconsin are going to react to voters, like you said, more than 90,000 votes. Governor Tony Evers did in his reelection bid last week.
Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of Evers Johnson votes. So, you know, there's people who split the ticket between Evers and Johnson. They voted the incumbents in. How is that going to affect things too?
I don't know. Those are peculiar people who were susceptible to the racist ads, in my opinion. And they just couldn't keep voting all the way down the Democratic ticket because those ads, and who paid for those ads? Largely it was Diana Hendricks and Richard Eline, who benefited to the tune of $200 million from the tax break that Ron Johnson gave them. They put in millions of dollars on these just hideous racist ads against Mandela Barnes, a real new low for Wisconsin.
Yeah, and now that the ads are done, though, we're going to see an administration that's going to try to move forward. Republicans tried to deny and hinder and stop the first Evers administration from getting a lot done. Thankfully, the Evers administration got to oversee how COVID stimulus funds were spent from the federal government and directly invested in local businesses, small businesses, and entrepreneurship across the state. But there's also a lot of policy setting items that still need to be confirmed. Individuals on boards at, like, the Natural Resources Board.
Fred Prain, go home.
All right, perfect. That sums it up. But there's more than 100 appointments waiting to be confirmed by the state Senate. Do you see the state Senate working with a second Evers administration, or do you believe there's going to be this continued obstruction from the state Senate preventing Evers from appointing members to these boards?
I think there's going to be a little of both. I think he'll get some appointments. I think the Republicans will go along with Evers on traditional Republican ideas that Evers actually supported, like giving a rebate on taxes when there's a surplus, which there is.
$5 billion worth.
And maybe doing a holiday on gas taxes if prices go back up at the pumps. Evers said he was amenable to that. That's a typical Republican proposal, too. So maybe they can do some business that way. I don't think it would kill Evers if he picked up the phone and said to Lemieux and Voss, why don't you come over to the mansion and let's talk about a few things. The lines of communication have been severed for a couple years there.
Well, I'm sorry. When a special session, or an extraordinary session is called during a lame duck session to hinder your entrance into the governor's mansion, I can fully understand Governor Evers being a little hesitant to open those lines of communication.
Yeah, no doubt. They tied both hands behind his back and put duct tape on his mouth. I mean, so it was hard for him to govern. Of course, it sounded like he had duct tape on his mouth during his debate, but that's another story.
That's a topic for maybe a different edition of Dueling Tangents. Folks, that's what you've been listening to for this fine hour. If you missed any portion of the show, you can go over to civicmedia.us. You can click on Dueling Tangents and check out our podcasts. The entire podcast library for the Civic Media Network is over there at civicmedia.us. That is our website. You can see all the shows, all the stations. Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Matt. We really appreciate it.
Always my pleasure. Drive safely out there.
Yeah. This has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, and we'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. We're going to be joined by Annalise Eicher, going to be joining to talk about the, as Matt said, the next election cycle is upon us, folks. There are going to be candidates circulating nomination papers and everything like that, so we'll have the conversation with a local elected official herself, Annalise Eicher, joining Dueling Tangents tomorrow. Be sure to tune in.
Michael's gonna come over to
your
house in the bathroom.
Not good. Not gonna work here anymore anyway.